This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mike DeBusky. Officials in Utah providing an update on the investigation into the killing of Charlie Kirk. FBI Special Agent in Charge, Robert Bowles.
We have recovered what we believe is the weapon that was used in yesterday's shooting. It is a high-powered bolt-action rifle.
Kirk, the conservative political activist, was shot and killed yesterday at Utah Valley University while holding an event for his organization, Turning Point USA. That gunman, thought to be positioned on a rooftop more than 100 yards away, is still on the run. The U.S. is now dealing with its highest inflation numbers since January. New data out this morning from the Bureau of Labor Statistics finds inflation is now 2.9% higher than this time last year, driven primarily by housing costs. And in New York City today,
Brian G. Ahern.
Jeremiah Joseph Ahern.
Mourners are remembering the September 11th attacks by reading out the names of the people who died that day. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska. A package of bills has been introduced by Wisconsin Democrats that they say would benefit workers. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomei-Olson.
Most notably, if passed, their plan would repeal Act 10. The controversial law, championed by then-Governor Scott Walker, curbed collective bargaining rights for public sector employees. State Senator Mark Spreitzer.
This proposal will restore workplace fairness and ensure that those who benefit from union representation are contributing their fair share so that we can build strong unions that can make sure we have good wages and working conditions for everyone.
The bills would also strengthen laws against misclassification. That's basically where employers can call their employees independent contractors when they're really not. Democratic lawmakers say that can have a wide range of impacts. Businesses can avoid paying payroll taxes and unemployment, and they don't have to provide health and safety benefits. Larry Statz owns his contracting business. He says companies that misclassify their employees are saving so much money, they're able to undercut businesses who are following the law, like his.
More and more competitors have adopted the illegal business model of misclassification, where they mislabel their actual workers as independent contractors. They avoid paying taxes, Social Security, workman's comp, and unemployment benefits, a responsibility that honest employers like us take on every day.
This package of bills would also reinstate prevailing wage laws. Republicans repealed Wisconsin's in 2015. All 60 Democrats in the state assembly and state senate have signed on to these bills. However, because they don't have the majority, they're unlikely to go anywhere without Republican support. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei-Olson.
You can read more about the package of bills on our website or by visiting the Wisconsin State Legislature website. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
The Packers in prime time. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from Lambeau Field in Green Bay, where the Packers play the Washington Commanders tonight. Green Bay 3-point favorites to win. Jordan Love asks if he likes playing in night games.
I like playing in whatever game. You know, no matter what game it is, I'm ready. Obviously, we don't get to, you know, pick and choose which games are prime time, things like that. But, man, every game is an opportunity to go out there and win the game. So it doesn't matter when it is, what time, where we're playing at. You know, I'm ready for each game.
Baseball, the Brewers headed home. They open a series tomorrow night in Milwaukee against the St. Louis Cardinals after being swept by the Rangers. Final score yesterday, 6-3. Pat Murphy.
Still proud of our guys. I love our guys. It's not lack of effort, guys. It's not letting down. It's maybe the opposite. They're exhausted. We're beat up. We're injured. And things did not go our way this week. You guys saw it. You know, that has to happen sometimes in baseball.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some areas of fog early, otherwise mostly sunny skies to be expected. It'll be warm with highs in the upper 70s. Partly cloudy skies tonight with a low of 53. Even warmer on Friday with mostly sunny skies, a high of 82, 85 on Saturday. Right now, it's 57.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The author of Bowling Alone says, let's foster new forms of electronic entertainment and communication that reinforce community engagement. Well, that's civic media. That's Up North News, trying to get more of us off the couch, give you good information while you are listening, but then to step up, get out there into your community, and bring a friend to the voting booth.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, we make the popcorn pick of the week where we give you a movie suggestion. Then Al Petrelli, guitarist for the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, joins to talk about upcoming shows. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who will be back before you know it. But we are here with you today. I got Sweet Cal B on the boards. And if you want to get in touch with us, give us a call, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also leave a comment on the live stream. We are on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Very, very packed show today at 9:35. Civic Media's host of Amicus, a law review, Jim Santel, will be here. He joins us every Thursday at 9:35 to break down all of the news coming out of the world of law. At 10:06, he's here a day early because he's got things to do in Madison tomorrow at Idea Fest. And you'll hear more about that in the coming days. And we've already had a couple of people from the fest up in Madison on the network, but Dan Schaefer, our political editor for Civic Media, is going to be here to recombobulate the news. And at 10:35, we're going to lighten things up a little bit because we need to. It's going to be heavy today. We got a lot of heavy news. And our audio sorbet, it's audio sorbet, of course. We're doing it today. And we want to know, when did you start talking like your parents? Do you remember when it happened? Or did it just happen and you didn't realize it? So, when did you start talking like your parents? That's going to be audio sorbet. Get your stories ready. You can call them in, text them in. You can send them via email, janesays@civicmedia.us. But that's audio sorbet. When did you start talking like your parents? And then finally, this shouldn't be a thing. It's how we round out the show every single day here at Matt and Air on Air, 10:52. And today it is the Have a Drink on Me edition. So stick around. It's going to be a thoughtful show. We're going to be having a lot of discussions, and I wanted to open it up with someone who I dearly love and respect here at Civic Media. He's not only a coworker, but he is a friend. He is the host of the Todd Alba Show, Monday through Fridays, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Todd Alba, thank you so much for joining me at the top of the show today.
Greg, Kelvin, I appreciate the invite, and difficult day news-wise, but it's good to hang out, have real discussions and conversations with people that you equally admire.
Oh, thank you very much. And before we get into the topic that I think everyone knows we're going to get into, the horrible shooting in Utah yesterday, which claimed the life of right-wing podcaster, firebrand, however you want to talk about him, Charlie Kirk, it's September 11th, and we want to take a moment to remember and keep in our hearts those who were the victims of the attacks, the families, the friends of those who were part of the attacks. This marks 24 years since September 11th, 2011, or 2001, I'm sorry, when 2,977 people were killed in terrorist attacks at the New York's World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and a plane crash in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. As we're doing this show right now, President Trump is at a memorial service in New York City, commemorating those who lost their lives, whether they were victims of the actual towers, the first responders, anyone who was involved. We are remembering them today fondly because they certainly gave their lives for this country, whether they knew it or not, whether they were in the buildings where they ran into the fires. They are remembered forever. They will never, ever be forgotten. So on that note, I invited Todd here today because he had the unnecessary honor, not honor, but the responsibility, I should say, the responsibility of breaking the news on civic media as far as what was going on with Charlie Kirk. And you always have an amazing way to put things like this into perspective, and you were the first person I thought of. So I just wanted to talk to you about it and say, you know, there's a lot going on. And at the heart of it, and I know it's not popular because if you're on social media and following the people that I follow, it's not popular. But the first thing I can only think of is that this was a person who was a father and a son and a friend, and I didn't agree with him at all. Most of the things he said, I disagreed with vehemently. I had a lot of problems with the things he said, but it did not warrant political violence.
Yeah, Greg, I appreciate the opportunity to be here, and I think this is healthy. You know, I think it's healthy to have thoughtful conversations at difficult times, and that's partly what we're called upon to do, to lead those discussions. And I can only speak for myself. Yeah. You know, I'm not here because I have all the answers, and I really tried to last night take the advice of our own Luke Mathers and take the advice of Trygve Olson, a longtime political strategist out the Lincoln Project that comes on our show a lot. And I think our own Pat Kreitlow said the same thing. You know, none of us are obligated to live on social media. None of us are obligated to put out social posts at time like these. And I think that was really good advice. Mm-hmm. And so I think on a day like today, at least for myself, maybe a little less pontificating and a little more listening and a little more thoughtfulness goes a long way, because there's going to be time to pontificate. There's going to be time to have feelings out there. And I think the really important thing, at least, and this is, you know, and shout out to Luke Mathers and Dan Schaefer, our political editor, and Aaron Zommers, our fantastic producer, because you know, I get the privilege and the honor of being behind the mic and being on the air, but it takes everybody in breaking news situations like that to bring it to our listeners. And I think it's really good to be based in fact. Mm-hmm. And one of the most disturbing things during yesterday and even now into this morning is so many folks out there are putting social media posts or opinions out there, and we don't even know who the shooter is yet. Mm-hmm. The two people that were detained and then let go have been cleared. And now the latest press conference this morning from Utah, I believe it was the FBI director or the regional man, said that these two individuals that were cleared have now been getting death threats of their own.
Yeah.
Because they're out. Yeah, he's like, stop it, knock it off. And so I would just... I get there's a lot of emotion right now, but I look at myself when I say this as well. Take a step back, take a breath. Let's let the truth suss out a little bit and figure out exactly what we're dealing with before all of us just rush in with judgments about what the motive was, who did this, what's going on. And I think the important thing, at least for me today, I'm speaking only for myself, focus a little on the humanity and what I can personally do tone it down a little bit.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I first and foremost think that, you know, we are a media network and we live on the media, the social media, and to say put the social media down for a moment, I'm hoping I don't get tagged by the management, but you know what I'm saying, I, you know, trying to bring it levity to any moment I can. But I had to do that too for two reasons. One, for what you just said, as far as just like, hey, I gotta you know, I'm just going to watch Wednesday on Netflix. That's what I'm going to do right now. And that's literally what I did. I had to escape for a moment because, and also the amount of people who felt it was necessary or appropriate to post the video of the tragedy happening. I got tired of hitting the hide button on my social. So I just finally said, nope. And our friend Kristen Bry had some great posts on her social media platform about the fact that, and I will say it again, I am not canonizing this man. I'm not saying he is a saint. I will be very, very forthright in saying that the things he spoke about online, live, wherever, I don't know if there was a single point that I agreed with Charlie Kirk with. But we both work in media, and we both are allowed the privilege of speaking our minds and speaking what we believe is truth, the power. And whether you like it or not, Charlie Kirk was speaking his truth. And that shouldn't come with such a consequence. And that makes me think about, what am I saying? Am I inflaming people? Am I angering people? Now, there's a point to which, Todd, I say, I have to speak my truth. I have to talk about this. I am a pro-democracy individual. I believe in America as a democracy. But that thought, followed by those events, are never far from my mind.
Yeah, I appreciate you bringing up our friend and former colleague here at Civic, and she's at, as they say, another network now, Kristen Bry. She has her own social media as well. She writes for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And what I love, one of the many, many things I love about Kristen is that she's so open. Yeah. And she's like, this is who I am. I'm sharing my emotions because I think a lot of, or my thoughts, because I think a lot of other people are feeling the same way. And that's what she did on her socials yesterday. Yeah. And then immediately somebody in her feed said, oh, why are you crying tears for Charlie Kirk because he said so many terrible things? And she did another social post and said, look, it's not so much that my tears are for Charlie Kirk specifically, but it's for our country and this moment that we're in. And our society is kind of broken. I'm paraphrasing. Those weren't her exact words. And at the end, she said, dancing on his grave is not helpful to anyone. And no. She called that out.
Yeah.
And a conservative radio host who I just don't think is worth naming in Milwaukee and Madison, who it rhymes with Old McDonald, goes after her and his producer goes after her, and they're calling her terrible, despicable things. And I just think, boy, if I were an advertiser over on that channel, mm-hmm. on that conservative radio network in Milwaukee and Madison, I'd pull my ads because, to your point, Greg, I didn't find anything that I agreed with Charlie Kirk. I found his language and his rhetoric dangerous. I think it targeted a lot of vulnerable people in our communities, but I certainly denounce and would never wish death upon him or anyone else. Mm-hmm. You know, violence is not the answer of this country. It's ballot box. That's where we have our quote unquote political fights, is at a ballot box. And you know, for other radio hosts on the conservative side to use this to attack someone who is just offering a human moment, mm-hmm. on this and twisting those words, that's despicable. And I think it's really, really sad.
I think I don't disagree with you. Like I said, I put my social media down. So I saw some of the videos and I reached out to her and we talked for a moment. But I imagine her day was taken up by all of that then. And I think I like Old McDonald. I like that. That's what I'm going to refer to him as, Old McDonald. But it's about the fact that we also live in a world where what she's feeling, I did see a lot of on social media, people who did not like him, who were upset, who were afraid, who were sick of it. We've been through this before over and not just, and really quick, I meant to say this up top too. And we've said this yesterday, you know, it should come as no surprise that Civic Media deplores and abhors and does not stand for political violence. It does not do anything to help the situation. That is not where we're at. That's not what we believe in. Personally, I was shocked. Professionally, I was shocked. As a company, we were shocked. But we do live in a place now where, and we'll talk about this a little bit more after we come back from our snack break, but we live in a place where people are forced to do commentary on this, whether they agree or disagree, because they need to get the clicks, the likes, the ad buys, the revenue. And unfortunately, people then look at those individuals and say, well, that's what they think, so that's what I should think. Instead of doing what Kristen did publicly and I did privately, which is just trying to take a moment to think about how this connects us all as humans, regardless of what we do or think. How does it connect us as humans? And you're right. The answer is at the ballot box. The answer is the conversations. The answer is connecting and finding out what brings us together and what do we as members of community, a state, a country need to prosper. And that's where that's the action that has real value. So I'm going to keep this conversation going with Todd Alba. He is the host of the Todd Alba Show, Monday through Fridays, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. here on Civic Media. You are listening to Matt and Aaron Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Give us a call. Give us a text. Stay tuned. Stay close. Be right back.
Eagle 1490 AM.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Did the dog catch the car? We have election denier legal trouble involving voting dogs, former election officials claiming they're political prisoners, and 2020 fake electors who claim they didn't know what they were doing was wrong. A Costa Mesa, California woman trying to demonstrate mail-in voter fraud was arraigned September 9th for fraudulently registering her dog Maya to vote, then casting a mail ballot in two elections in 2022. Laura Lee Urick self-reported her scheme in 2024 and posted a picture of Maya with an I voted sticker. She faces up to 6 years in prison. Bridge, Michigan reports that a circuit court judge dismissed felony charges against Michigan's 15 GOP fake electors September 2nd. The judge ruled the state failed to prove the electors knew that signing and sending the alternative slate of electors to the U.S. Senate was illegal. Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel has not ruled out an appeal. Colorado Newsline reports that Mesa County Clerk Tina Peters, convicted by a jury of four felonies relating to the tampering of her county's election machines, filed a federal habeas corpus claim asking to be released on bond pending appeal. Her attorney calls Peters a political prisoner. The state argues the federal government doesn't have jurisdiction and the case should be dismissed. We have links to the local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal. Find us on Blue Sky at Democracy Minute.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is currently on vacation and will be back before you know it. I'm joined by Sweet Cal B, a.k.a. the Board Lord, Calvin on the ones and twos. We are here bringing you the show today, and I'm very, very grateful to have the guests that I do today that I have on the show. I have Todd Alba with me. We are continuing our conversation about the horrific tragedy in Utah, what happened claiming the life of Charlie Kirk, talking about how to feel feelings and really being okay with feeling your feelings, because we live in a very big social media echo chamber and it's hard to maybe sometimes be honest. And if you want to be honest with us and call and text, and we do invite people to be positive and contribute to the commentary. I understand that Mr. Kirk did inflame a lot of opinions and did make a lot of people angry. Made me angry when I listened to a talk, but we're just trying to talk about how, as yet again, another horrific act of political violence has taken place in this country, on top of the fact it was gun violence, on top of the fact that there was a shooting in Denver yesterday that put three people in the hospital. All we can do is have the conversations at this point. I mean, I'm waiting for our lawmakers to do something, but I want to start with two things. I want to start with a tweet from a gentleman. I don't think I know them, but Xander Moritz, who said, and I think this is important because I think this is what you, Todd, you and I are doing, Todd, right now, which is looking at both sides of the truth, which is nuance. I think that's an important discussion point, is nuance. He says, we can handle nuance. We can agree that Charlie Kirk's rhetoric and actions have caused death and that murder is wrong. We can agree that the Second Amendment matters, that we need safe gun laws. celebrating Charlie Kirk's death will further his harm. And I think that's important. I don't think we gain anything by making it seem, as you put it with Kristen's post, dancing on his grave solves nothing. And Cassandra on the live stream also said something that's been in my brain as well. As my husband said, we may not agree with him, but the biggest fear I have is that there will be retribution from, quote, the other side. And you kind of said it yourself, Todd, was that these two individuals who were taken into custody and had nothing to do with it are now being targeted by the others. And that's wrong as well.
No, 100%. And I think anyone who is celebrating Charlie Kirk's death today just needs to take a long look in the mirror at themselves. And it's certainly not helpful politically. It's certainly not helpful safety-wise for any of us, regardless of how I felt about Charlie Kirk, which is not someone I agreed with at all. Our founders did not set up this country to solve our differences with guns or any other sort of violence. It was set up to solve our differences at the ballot box. And so again, I completely denounce his killing, and there should not be certainly not be retribution killings. Here's a couple of quick things. A, people who are on social media, be really careful. There's a lot of Russian bots, as they say, or people of Chinese, people from outside the country who are infiltrating social media and exaggerating on both the left and the right and putting lies out there to pit us against ourselves so that we implode upon each other. Quick example, Laura Loomer, confidant of Donald Trump, a big MAGA person. There was something going around. I took screenshots of it here. And I'm like, did she really say that? So I went to her Twitter feed and scrolled through. She said about two sentences of what actually got posted under something that looked exactly like her real Twitter feed.
Yeah.
And so it exaggerated and made it look even worse to make it think it pits us against ourselves.
Yeah.
So be very cautious of things being posted on your Facebook or Twitter or whatever feed that's out there. Number two, I'm just, I don't know, Greg, did you experience this or Kelvin? I was, you guys were smart. I kept looking at everything last night.
Yeah.
I was astounded at how many people I have on my personal Facebook page. They're kind of like, quote unquote, Facebook friends. Like, okay, I knew them in high school or I knew them from my community, but we don't hang out a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm astounded how many people that you would say that I know folks. I mean, that you would say, yeah, they're good people, and they are. But they're reposting and putting things out there that Charlie Kirk was a saint. And it's so connected to this, in my opinion, skewed version of Christianity.
Yes.
And I just think it's so sad that all of our great institutions of faith, whether they're mosques or temples or churches or synagogues, to do all kinds of great work, communities of faith in this state. But that is being bastardized by a political party who's using that to advance an agenda. And I'm just, it impacted me of how deep this is. And people that we're talking to, there is a very, to use the word, nuanced view of an intersection of perceived Christianity in politics. And boy, I think that's a, as someone once said, a tough nut to crack.
And, I'm going to use this moment to plug the show from yesterday. We spoke with Andrew Watkins, who's a survivor of a Christian nationalist community. And I'm not going to put those people that you saw into the realm of Christian nationalism. But what I'm going to say is that she speaks on the fact that, yes, the religion of Christianity has been perverted over many, many decades and centuries, especially in the last five decades. And the teachings of Jesus have been almost abandoned. From love thy neighbor and treat all with kindness and inclusion and respect and caring and service to I am saved, you are not, you're going to hell, I am not. And while we're at it, let's take away women's rights to vote because they don't need it. But that's something we talk about. And it's like, yeah, it's that version of the religion that fits for you. And then you put it out there.
As someone who is a very, very imperfect person of faith on the Christian side, I'll leave it with a partial Bible verse, which is never grow weary of doing good, and I think that hopefully that everybody can be reminded of that today. Do some good, and because I think I feel sometimes very unempowered, and so do some good. It'll make you feel better.
Todd, I appreciate you, and you do good by doing it every day here on the network. 2 to 4 p.m., the Todd Alba Show, talking to the people. I appreciate your time as always, and I'll talk to you sooner than later, friend.
Appreciate you, friend. Take care. Bye.
When we come back after the news, we have Jim Santel breaking down all the news from the world of law. Don't go anywhere. Stay close. Stay tuned. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Gas prices in Wisconsin stay under $3 per gallon. With more, here's Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
Average gas prices took a slight dip in Wisconsin, dropping 2.2 cents over the last week. The average on Monday is $2.95 in the state. This is 7.9 cents per gallon higher than a month ago, but over 10 cents lower than this time last year. Prices have been volatile in the Midwest in recent weeks. A refinery in Indiana experienced a temporary outage because of severe weather. With the restart of BP's Whiting Refinery, Great Lakes states saw significant relief. The transition to winter gasoline is just a week away for most areas, and OPEC Plus announced an increase in oil production starting in October. This could help keep oil prices lower for longer.
Gas prices in La Crosse have also stayed under $3 per gallon this past week, dropping slightly from a week ago. The area organization that puts together honor flights for military veterans is seeking donations. Freedom Honor Flight will make its 33rd trip on September 13th to Washington, D.C. To date, the Freedom Honor Flight has taken over 3,200 veterans to the nation's capital from within a 100-mile radius of La Crosse. But now the group is seeking donations to continue the flights, which currently cost about $185,000. Over 600 veterans remain on a waiting list. To learn more or to donate, visit freedomhonorflight.org. Sunny skies will dominate the rest of the week, with highs today around 80 degrees in the Cooley region. It'll inch upwards into the low 80s tomorrow and through the weekend into the mid-80s. By early next week, temperatures will stay in the low to mid-80s. Thunderstorm chances arrive early next week. We'll have more details in our Civic Media forecast. You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go with the free Civic Media app. Download it now from your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives star and founder of the soft swinging group on TikTok called Mom Talk will be the new bachelorette. Taylor Frankie Paul will have her pick of men on national television. But be careful, attention-seeking hot guys, because she is no stranger to scandal. Paul, the mother of two, confessed that she and other couples in the community were soft swingers, meaning she and her husband regularly made out with other couples. Once you get a look at Taylor Frankie Paul, you'll realize why all the other husbands wanted a French kisser. In addition to two hot first names, she has perfect eyebrows. According to the New York Post, the soft swinging resulted in a pregnancy for Paul by another husband. That must have been some kiss. Beware though, bachelor, she was also charged with a third-degree felony for throwing something at her first husband that accidentally hit her child. Don't worry, the charges were dismissed, paving the way for Paul to choose another potential baby daddy on national TV. I think I'm in love. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some areas of fog early, otherwise mostly sunny skies to be expected. It'll be warm with highs in the upper 70s. Partly cloudy skies tonight with a low of 53. Even warmer on Friday with mostly sunny skies, a high of 82, 85 on Saturday. Right now, it's 57.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
James Santel joining me. Donald Trump just flat out threatening Federal Reserve Governor Lisa Cook.
A lot of people apparently, Maggie, in high places in government engaging in mortgage fraud, including Adam Schiff and Letitia James, and now Commissioner Cook as well. The Federal Reserve is created independent of politics, preventing exactly this kind of thing from happening. This is the instability that causes economic crisis.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Mr. Pat Kreitlow joins us from Lake Wissota.
Everything that I know about high culture, everything I know about opera, for example, comes from Bugs Bunny cartoon. The kids are missing out these days. They got Bluey and all of that.
Well, now it's all like
real. We had coyotes falling off of cliffs. Come on.
Exactly. And now it's all this educational crap.
We really have just become the two old men rocking on the porch talking about days gone by.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, Todd Allbaugh.
From the assassination of Charlie Kirk to shootings in Colorado, how do we as Wisconsinites take care of our own mental health as we sort through the news? All that and remembering 9/11 next time. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is currently out, but will be back sooner than you know it. And we are here today with a very, very good show because we're talking to friends and we're having conversations. I'm joined, of course, by Calvin Butenhoff on the boards. And we're just talking about the events of yesterday in Utah, the horrific act of political violence that claimed the life of Charlie Kirk, who was the founder of Turning Points USA, a political firebrand, a right-wing commentator, an agitator for some. And we're talking about basically the what this has left for people behind, as far as, for me personally, the feelings I have regarding my profession, regarding my personal life, regarding everything. And I think it's important to have these discussions, I think, because we are all Americans. And we are constantly being hit with these acts of violence, whether they're political or in schools or in shopping malls or in movie theaters. But it's something we keep talking about. And unfortunately, for my next guest, who is the host of Amicus, a law review, former U.S. attorney. Amicus, by the way, is on every Saturday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Unfortunately for Jim, he can't make me in charge. Even though he's an attorney, he can't make me in charge. He can't put like a sword on my shoulder and say, Greg, you're in charge. Go fix everything. Because it would take me a little bit. I would do it. It'd be fun. But Jim, thank you so much for being here. You're always here at 9:35 on Thursdays to talk about the pressing matters coming out of the world of law. Talk about the Supreme Court. We talk about, you know, these cases to keep your eyes on. And we'll get to one or two in a little bit. But what I wanted to start off with was reviving a conversation that you and I had, I think about 2-3 weeks ago.
Yes.
When we were talking about gun violence again.
Right.
And I'm on social media. I see the videos all the time. You can't have any sort of gun reform at all that anything impinges on my Second Amendment. You can't introduce, you can't ban a bump stock. You can't ban a weapon. You can't put in a regulation. You can't authorize training. You can't certification. Nothing. I should be able to walk in anywhere, buy a gun today, take it anywhere I want, hold it on my hip anywhere I'd like. That's it. Because anything less would be an absolute infraction upon my constitutional rights. Now, I dramatized that entire telling right there, but we all know people online who do this. You have a different point of view, and that is that we can have sensible gun regulations which do not harm our constitutional rights.
That's exactly right. And like you, and like, frankly, all of your listeners, I'm outraged by those people who say that I have an absolute, absolute right under the Constitution. Greg, as you and I have also observed routinely, there is no right in America. There is no constitutional right that is unconditional. Mm-hmm. Every single one of them. Give me the right. I can tell you what the restriction is on it. Why? Mm-hmm. Because we live in a society of people. We live in communities where we not only care about each other, but we're concerned about each other's safety and security. So let's pull back a little bit upon that basically unfounded notion that there is a basically uncontrolled right for guns. As late as 17 years ago, 2008, the Second Amendment was not interpreted in that way. And in that year, there was a decision by the Supreme Court at the pen of a fellow that we talk about a lot. His name is Antonin Scalia. And he said in a case called Heller versus District of Columbia, mm-hmm. for the first time in our nation's history, that you have a right in your home to possess a handgun for self-defensive purposes, and went back and basically invested in the Constitution for the first time the notion that there is a constitutional right to gun ownership and use. That was a dramatic change from the past. Just a couple of years ago, that was reaffirmed, a case called Bruin 2023, and it broadened the applicability of that onto the streets and said, yes, you've also got a right to carry those weapons. Now, what's the point that we're both of you and I are making? In both of those cases, including from the pen of Antonin Scalia, what he also said in a major paragraph inside Heller, adopted again by the Chief Justice and people like Brett Kavanaugh, nothing about those cases establishes an unconditional right. And indeed, government, in the exercise of its proper duties to keep us safe and secure, can place all kinds of, yes, I'll use all the words, restrictions, conditions, limitations on the manufacture, the transfer, the use, the ownership, the possession, the sale of firearms. And that's what enables Congress and state legislatures around the country to impose those kinds of regulations. And to get to the other point, which I know we want to chat about today, and that is that there are things, and you and I talked about this 2 weeks ago, inside that known constitutional rubric, there are things that we can do that will affect the gun violence challenge, the healthcare challenge that we have in this nation. They're easy to know. We know what they are. They're bringing out together the gun show loophole, universal background checks, safe gun storage, extreme risk protection orders, assault weapons bans. I can go on. We know that these things work. And that's the point, right, Greg? We've talked about this a lot. We know they work because in those states that have implemented these things constitutionally, according to what Antonin Scalia has told them they can do, what happens there? The rates of gun violence, including mass shootings, there have been 309 mass shootings in America since January 1 of this year alone. Mass shootings and other instances of gun violence dropped dramatically. We know in the 1990s that when we had a 10-year assault weapons ban passed by the Congress, what happened? Again, gun violence rates plummeted in this country. It sunsetted. It wasn't renewed by the Congress. And what happens? We go in the opposite direction again. The point is, we know it works. We don't have to go back and do more research. With all due respect to the First Amendment, we don't need more national conversation about this. We know what works. Do it. Make those changes. And the final point I'll make before I jump on my soapbox is this. 418 days from today, we go to the polls and we elect 435 members of the House of Representatives and we elect 33 members of the United States Senate. If you are serious about responding to the horror, the absolute meltdown tragedy of what happened in Utah Valley University and at Evergreen High School yesterday and in all those other places in America, absolute tragic of the profound nature. If you're concerned about that, you elect people in 418 days, not single issue voters, but reasonable, rational people who will take Antonin Scalia at his word and say, we know what we can do. We're going to change America and we're not going to eliminate all violence, but we're going to make a big, big effort and we're going to accomplish something. And so in 478 days from now, when that 120th Congress of the United States takes the oath of office as the next Congress of this nation, they can introduce language, they can introduce legislation, the House and the Senate, that implement at a federal level, just like those many states, not here in Wisconsin, but in other states around the country that have done these things. And you will see, not the next day, but over time, a dramatic reduction in the kinds of horrors that we saw again yesterday. And Americans need to understand the timing on this, the capacity that they have to make the change. That's what you can do, and that's what you can do under the Constitution of the United States of America. Our representatives, as you just said in the prior segment, have got to be compelled to make these changes for the betterment of all of us. And in memory of, yes, the Charlie Kirks and all the other people who have perished as a result of gun violence in America.
Well, I think the show is done now, Calvin. We can go home. Jim has said everything he needs to say. We're just going to pack it up and go to McDonald's, I guess. Happy meals on me. Yeah, If you're just joining us right now, Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network, we're talking to Jim Santel. He's the host of Amicus, a law review, which is on every Saturday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Don't catch it live. Can't catch it live. Listen to the playback on the website, civicmedia.us/shows, or download it as a podcast. It's an amazing, amazing show. I love listening to it. Jim, a couple of things I want to say about that, all of those points. Yes. First of all, yes, thank you for bringing up the fact that in this country, what happened in Utah was a tragedy. Yet that same day, another shooting happened in Denver, sending three people to the hospital, and no one was talking. I shouldn't say no one. I take that back. Not no one, but it wasn't a news story on the major news networks because it's not about the tragedy. It's about what's the ratings, who's going to be watching, and that's an unfortunate piece of the puzzle. Second of all, when you talk about this, about the Second Amendment, talking about implementation of gun laws, two things come to mind. First of all, we have the ability to change. Another word for change, yes. Jim, is amend. Amendment means we can change the Constitution, yes. because the founders also never meant for that document to be immutable. And finally, when we're talking about Antonin Scalia, we're not talking about some hippy-dippy liberal who believes the Constitution's a living, breathing, evolving document. He was the originalist's originalist. And as someone who believes the text is applicable to how it was in the time it was ratified, the fact that he can have such open-minded ideas on what we can do with gun restriction, gun laws, and gun safety measures says a lot to me personally, that he was such a staunch originalist, but yet on this matter he said, no, the Constitution does not mean everyone gets a gun.
Right. Antonin Scalia, for what it's worth, this is going to date me, was my professor at the University of Chicago Law School before he became a member of the Court of Appeals in the District of Columbia, before Ronald Reagan placed him on the Supreme Court. And I saw then, again, at the very start of my legal career, and we saw throughout his career that this was a man who, again, you can disagree with him, but he was an academic. Mm-hmm. And again, even the Heller decision, awful lot of criticism. Maybe he gets the history wrong. There are an awful lot of people who say that he has done that. The Supreme Court has relied a lot upon history, as we know well, to justify things of all kinds in its jurisprudence. But the reality is just that. Look at Heller and find that paragraph that begins, "Nothing about our opinion." And then he goes on to say, "Nothing about our opinion should prevent any of the traditional, longstanding government impositions of conditions on all of these things." And he gives you a list, but it's plainly just an illustration, if you will, the kinds of things, and makes it very clear that restrictions can be imposed. And that's what we can do tomorrow, Greg, if we want to do it. Nothing unconstitutional, nothing illegal about it. It is a matter for legislative action. Get those people in Congress and in other state houses, including right here in Wisconsin, to act in a way that's legal and lawful and make us more safe and secure virtually, maybe not right overnight, but in a short period of time.
How many days did you say until election next year? 400 and
it's 418 until November 3rd of 2026.
And just as a reminder, we're not just voting for our federal government. We're voting for our state government, too. And you can find out more by going to myvote.wi.gov. And we have Jim Santel sticking with us while we go grab some snacks and get some water. But the live stream's loving what they're hearing, Jim. Jess, Jim, you know what works. Do it. And Cassandra says, Jim is fired up today. I'm loving it. And Tom says, the great Jim Santel. So we're going to keep the conversation with the great Jim Santel going. So don't go anywhere. Grab a snack. Get some hydration. Head on back. Stay tuned. Stay close. We're going to keep talking about gun measures, gun safety, and how it does not infringe upon our Second Amendment rights of the Constitution. Keep talking about this, but we got to keep talking about it. We're going to keep talking about it on Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You have your club
card.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Here's a dose of reality. Driving under the influence of prescription painkillers is just as illegal and just as deadly as driving drunk. In fact, there are nearly 2,000 drug-related crashes every year in Wisconsin. Help prevent drugged driving and let's achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roadways. Driving on pills kills. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Departments of Health Services, Transportation, and Justice.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matinair, who's currently on vacation and will be back before you know it. We have Sweet Cal B on the boards today, and if you want to get in touch with us, you can call or text. The number is 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also leave a comment on the live stream. We were on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that we still call Twitter. After the top of the hour news break coming up in the second hour at 10:06, we're going to be welcoming Civic Media's political editor, Dan Schaefer, to the show. We're going to be recombobulating the news, furthering this discussion, but also talking about some state news that came out regarding the gubernatorial race next year, which is, as you said, Jim, 417 days away?
418, but who's counting? Apparently we are, right?
You are, apparently, my gosh. Calendars, right? I'm just trying to count the Brewers' magic number. That's all I care about numbers right now. But we're talking to our friend Jim Santella, who's the host of Amicus, a law review, which is on every Saturday at 9 a.m., and if you can't catch it live, you can always listen to the replay by going to civicmedia.us/shows. I would really encourage you to do so. It's not only great catch up for what's going on in this week in law, but it's also Jim breaks down these stories well and really brings the law into focus and allows people like me to understand what's ever going on. So, Amicus, a law review, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. every single Saturday here on Civic Media. We were talking about the terrible shooting that claimed the life of Charlie Kirk yesterday in Utah. also, you know, really bringing into in the conversation, and I should have brought this up, but I didn't. The fact that, you know, political violence in this country isn't a new thing by any stretch since our inception, but not even new, or not even it's been happening more and more just in recent years. And I saw someone post, and I can't find it now, but post just all of the threats, acts of physical violence against politicians. And it goes in the same line, Jim, as, you know, when shootings happen, we say, this is a tragedy, and then we move on. We don't do anything. And I think to what your point was earlier is that while we can sit here and have these conversations and we can agree, because as the polling always shows, America agrees that sensible gun laws are not only important, but constitutional.
Right.
It's our leaders who are either afraid, unaware, or incapable, and or just don't even want to do it. Because honestly, like, the gun lobby is strong and they can be bought.
Right. And I often think about this question, which again, Greg, you and I have pondered here on air and off. When that day comes, when we are speaking to our children and our grandchildren, and maybe even our great-grandchildren, and they say, gee, what was going on, great-grandpa, great-grandma, way back in 2021, 2022, even before that, of course, 2025, I'm reading about this fellow named Charlie Kirk, who was assassinated in public as he was about to speak at a university. You knew what the remedies for all of this were. Why didn't you do something way back then? I think about the legacy of the failure to act today and how history will record, and I'll include all of us together, because if we're not once again electing people to Congress who will take action on this, we are also maybe not complicit in the literal sense of that word, but supporting this when we are compelled by the people who follow us, the generations to come, asked about why it is we didn't stop this madness. I'll also call it a healthcare crisis.
Yes.
People are dying. People are in the hospital this morning in Evergreen High School and the Evergreen area and other places around the country. It is a healthcare crisis. The question will come, why didn't you do something? You knew it would work. You knew you had test cases where it did work, and you failed to act. Explain that to me. And I would offer to all Americans that there is no compelling answer to that question other than the fact that we failed. We failed now, and perhaps we're going to fail future generations. That's the argument that you make to all those people who are going back to Congress, who are going to our state house in Madison in the coming year.
And that just pushes for me the notion. Well, actually, going back to your scenario, first of all, I'll be great Uncle Greg. That'll be
very
great, Greg. And I will be very, very grizzled on the front porch with my cane yelling at all the kids with their rock and roll music. But when they say about Charlie Kirk, I'll say, well, ask me about Representative Hortman in Minnesota. Right. Ask me about Paul Pelosi. Ask me about the attempted kidnapping of Gretchen Whitmer. Ask me about the shooting of Gabby Giffords in a parking lot. We had it over and over and over again, and we did nothing. And that is on the heads of our leaders. And that is why we push the power of the voice at the ballot. And that is why you need to go to myvote.wi.gov. Look at who represents you. Tell them what you want. And if you don't like what they're doing, well, we have 418 days to find new representatives and vote them in and see if they can make a difference. Because the difference is made by us at the ballot box. As Todd said, that's how we fight our battles.
Right. And to your very good point about political violence, it does absolutely nothing today, tomorrow, or any time to compare instances of political violence. We've all got the list. It goes in all directions, in all variations. All anybody needs to do is to condemn every single act, regardless of where it happened, who were the victims of it. It is all condemnable. It is all contrary to the very fabric of our nation. Condemn it all and say it cannot continue, and then work to remedy it. The discussions today, which are out there to some extent, comparing one to another, saying, yes, what about this?
Mm-hmm.
Shame on you. Shame on you. That is not what this discussion is about. Condemn it all and bemoan the fact that we still have a nation of gun violence that takes all of these lives, injures all these people when we know what we can do to remedy the problem.
Thank you, my friend, for being here. I always appreciate your time and your expertise, and I look forward to hearing this weekend's new episode of Amicus, yes, a Law Review, which is available 9 a.m. every Saturday on Civic Media, or you can download it at civicmedia.us/shows if you want to catch up. Jim, it's always great to have you here. Have a wonderful weekend. I'll talk to you soon.
It's good to be with you.
All right. When we come back after the news, political editor for Civic Media and founder of the Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer, is here to break down the news. Don't go anywhere. Stay close. Stay tuned. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dabusky. Investigators in Utah now say they've recovered what they believe is the weapon used in the murder of conservative activist Charlie Kirk. They say it's a bolt-action rifle found in the woods around Utah Valley University where the shooting took place. That suspect is still at large this hour. ABC News Chief Justice Correspondent Pierre Thomas has more on the investigation.
You'll now see them pursuing information from surrounding areas, doorbell cameras, anything like that. This is a massive investigation. It involves collating huge amounts of information, but they feel very strongly that they have a high likelihood of being able to identify the suspect soon. They said if they cannot do so, they will seek the public and the media's help in doing so.
President Trump now says he'll posthumously award Kirk the Presidential Medal of Freedom. The president is currently attending 9/11 remembrance ceremonies at the Pentagon. New data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics find inflation now stands at 2.9% higher than last year. This is ABC News.